In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Saquon Barkley, if you could not bleep the bed this week, as you have done for countless weeks previously, that'd be great.
He's already attacked that big, giant, inflatable Easter bunny that got put in the locker room, so I think he's on the right side.
I'll just tell you, I need it. All right, you understand. I'm playing Daryl in the first round of the playoffs. You didn't hear about this today because I'm going Teddy Roosevelt. I'm walking softly and I'm carrying a big stick. And what that means is you're only going to hear about this playoff matchup with Daryl because it's a 2-week thing once I beat him.
I really thought you were going to go man in the arena there. And I was like, oh, that's interesting for the digital fantasy football players that we're talking about.
What's man in the arena?
Is it too rough on you today?
Man in the arena. Time. Man in the arena, the big, like, the Teddy Roosevelt quote that talks, well, Bron had it posted everywhere. It's one of those, it basically talks about don't criticize the person that steps foot in the arena unless you're willing to be that person themselves. I'm loosely doing this, obviously. Yeah. Basically, it makes it okay to tell fans that they stink for being fans and because they're not the ones doing it.
No, every athlete
across like the last 30 years has used that to justify why they think very little of fans because they're not the ones that are actually putting themselves into the arena, into the game, so to speak. And for that, those people for even attempting are better than the people that they're just, observe.
No, I'm a man of the people. I can't do that.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I always looked at it as a very rude saying for all the fans. That not what Roosevelt was going for, by the way.
Yeah. Well, shocking that, 100 years later, we would twist somebody's words and take it out of context, get it wrong. However, we are talking about Shedeur Sanders. We're talking about the final four games. What's at stake here? How much does winning matter for Shador's chances to get the gig next year?
I don't think winning matters at all in this context. I really don't. I think if you lost four games and they looked exactly the same like this last game where you ended up losing by a couple points here and there or whatever, but he put up these numbers, I'm not really... Now, the part that I would be like, wait, does Shedeur not... Does he not know how to close out games? Does he not know how to... What part of winning does he not know how to do? But I've seen Stefanski find ways to mess up these games so often that I would not be able to put that at the feet of Shedeur. Conversely, if you win four straight games and they're all 10-8 finals, and Shador's got throwing for 75 yards and 130 yards and 100 yards, I won't be like, but see, he won the final four games down the stretch. I think that would be lunacy, too.
In the interest of negating recency bias, let's say that his next four games are some mix. Let's say the perfect in-between of the first two games and yesterday. So you're probably getting two, maybe three touchdowns, probably a turnover. And he looks good, but, he doesn't look great. Let's go there, right? Then I do think winning matters. I don't know you need to win even two games, but I think you got to get at least one win down the stretch.
I'm okay with that if you end up... Well, again, is that the Bengals win in week 18 when Joe Burrow's rested? Hendrickson is already out for the season now after the news today.
You need to get a win. Okay. I just don't think we can nitpick wins at this point. Again, I think you're right.
But I don't think it's mandatory either,
A win
though.
Against the Bears, Steelers, or Bills goes a hell of a lot
farther.
The
difference for myself is it's not mandatory to me. You could lose the remaining four games. Now, do I want this to happen? Obviously not. I'd rather you win.
Seems like you want them
to
lose.
Well, it actually wouldn't be horrible for draft position, so maybe I take that back. But like, you could lose every game for the rest of the season, and if he looks like he did yesterday, I'm not going to be upset by it. I will wonder what happened to the defense. Because if you're losing these games and he's putting up games like he did yesterday, where it's 400 total purpose yards all by himself, you're wondering what happened to the defense.
It's even, I'll take 250. I'll take a strong 250 and two touchdowns or three touchdowns and one or no interceptions, right?
Yeah, I just can't be the person that constantly tells you that. I think quarterback wins isn't the stat I rely on when it comes to the regular season. Postseason, it's a little bit of a different story. Do I wish that he win all these games and also look great? Yes, but is it mandatory for myself? Not right now.
216-474-0092. How much does winning matter to Shador's future? So winning down this stretch run here, I think there are going to be Browns fans. Now, listen, there's a segment of Browns fans who claim yesterday wasn't enough in the first place. But I think if you have four more games the way that yesterday looked, but they're all losses, I would not be surprised if there are people who still want to take a quarterback in April.
And I wouldn't be surprised by that either, but let me put it this way. Deshaun year two went 5-1. Did anybody leave year two being like, this guy's got it? Like, nobody did, you know, nobody did with good reason. Like, we all looked at it for what it was. We looked at it for, it was a 5-1 record. He did get a lot of wins in year two, oddly enough. But Deshaun wasn't the reason for a lot of those wins. And in those games, he didn't look particularly good. And so that's why I think it's really important that we kind of focus in on what Shador is able to do and kind of leave the win-loss part of this maybe to the back burner for at least the four games.
All right, let's go with Tom in Chagrin. Welcome to the show, Tom in Chagrin.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing well. What you got for us, buddy?
Good, man. So I want to get your opinion on something or get your thoughts. So if Shador balls out for the next four games, and by balls out, I mean, doesn't have to win all four games, right? But let's say if he did, my concerns are this. If he wins all four, it probably keeps a quarterback off the draft card next year, right? Now they can go after somebody else. If he doesn't win all four, let's say he wins one out of the four, but he still has good games like he did yesterday. Plays pretty solid. My fear is they're still going to go after a quarterback. And then potentially, would they use Shador as trade bait to get a receiver or move up in the draft?
Tom, we appreciate you. I don't know. I think there's going to be a segment of people who go, well, if Shador isn't enough to take the quarterback position, how much trade value can he have?
I would look at it more like, don't you then just, you have your backup quarterback and he's insurance. But also I would also look at it like maybe Shador ends up doing what they did with Drake May in New England, where in fact the starting, like Mendoza would sit for the first 6, 7, 8 weeks or whatever. And Shador would be the starter until you feel like Mendoza's 100% ready. And you kind of make that the transition.
I think the concern is though.
And then if Shador goes off, then he goes off. And then you just kind of, you would delay Mendoza's development then though.
Yeah.
So that becomes tough.
I think the concern is going to be with Shador, I think there's going to be a lot of questions, not on this show, but around the NFL, which means that there's going to be conversations in the Browns organization, depending on who's still in that organization. We know Shador is comfortable being the face of the team. How comfortable is he really, or how good of a fit is he as a backup? And I look to other guys who are huge personalities. That was a big concern for Baker Mayfield when he got jettisoned out of Carolina. And he was able to disprove it, by the way, quickly in L.A., and then he didn't really have to deal with it since. Cam Newton, at the end of his career. There's a reason Cam didn't spend the next, you know, the 5 years after being a starter as a backup, because people said, why would you do that to your starting quarterback?
Yeah. I think we're just putting the cart before the horse, though. Let's see him ball out, and then that can be a good problem that we have to deal with. But I to the caller's point, though, like, I'm not going to make a massive deal over wins, losses versus how it looks and the stats attached to it all. Like, I can't do that right now.
Terry in Euclid. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Not much, buddy.
Hey, Terry.
Couple things here. First of all, the running game for the Titans looked so good, maybe because Malik Collins was out, and it showed you how much valuable he was. Now, getting to Shador, there's no way that I would draft a quarterback next year. First of all, is the quarterback class better the year after that, or is it better this year?
It is, but this stuff always moves, though.
The quarterback class is going to be better the year after that.
It should be, Terry, but people said that about last year's quarterback class, too, where they're like, oh, the 2026 one's going to be stocked and loaded, and then you fast forward, and it, in fact, was not stocked and loaded.
Well, I don't see this class being stocked and loaded.
That's what I'm talking about. Like yeah. In 2025, when we were talking about Shador versus Cam Ward and all those quarterbacks, they said, but 2026 has Klubnik, it's got Nussmeier, it's got Sellers, it's got potentially Arch Manning, it's got all these people, and then we fast forward, and the two people that are highlighted are two people that we didn't even expect, in Mendoza and Moore, and the expected quarterbacks fell off. That's why it always changes.
The other thing I want to get to. Stefanski should be fired for this reason and main reason. You're a coach. You don't worry about next year. You don't worry about developing guys. You win now. Just think if they were to put that type of mentality in. The Steelers are 7-6 and lead their division. Just think if we were 5-7 or 6-6 right now, which we very well could have been. We'd be in the hunt for the division this year. And see, that's the thing I don't understand. This whole organization was geared to lose this year, and that's what happened because your mentality was to lose because you didn't think you had your quarterback. And also, the last thing I want to say is you put two quarterbacks on this roster that were veterans and jettisoned them. Then you had two rookies. Then you're going to say Shador is a backup. Backups don't get reps. Well, if you knew you were going to do that, why wouldn't you get your backup going from throwing to the ball boy to the number one receiver? That don't make sense to me. It's not the same situation as another backup that actually had a chance to play and play with the starters or even the second teamers. So this is why he should be fired, because they had no plan on what they were doing with the quarterback this year. Thank you.
Terry, we appreciate you. Listen, I think Stefanski, you can fire him off the first 5 years he was here. You can fire him off the last 2 years. And you can fire him off Deshaun Watson failing here. And you can also fail that he looked at Dillon Gabriel and thought Dillon was worth more of an investment early in the run here than Shador was. And what that means is I'll leave the door cracked for, you know what, we just thought Dillon was more NFL ready. But as a coach, you should understand the difference between NFL ready and NFL ceiling. And understand the value of the reps you give. Getting Dillon Gabriel 100% ready to play, if that 100% still is only good enough to be a backup, while the kid that needed a little bit more work but might possibly get to a starter level in the near future, that was your decision, that's still fireable no matter how you frame the situation.
And we should add to this conversation, if Dillon Gabriel doesn't get hurt in the concussion, we don't know that Shador would have actually seen the field this year.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is also coaching malpractice. And if they did get him on the field, it wouldn't have been with a long enough runway to really fully get the look that you need in order to see what he can do. And you wouldn't have seen what you saw this last week. And then, you talk about an epic fail. That would have been it. They lucked into this. In many ways, they've lucked into the situation that they're currently in, and that we might have a franchise quarterback or a quarterback we can even use for next year and evaluate more off of. And it's not because...
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Of anything they did.
We should acknowledge that the Ohio State-Indiana game was a letdown as an Ohio State fan because you didn't have to lose that game. And I think if you were a Browns fan, like trying to like sink your teeth into Fernando Mendoza, I don't know you came away from that game feeling like that's the guy that's going to change the franchise either.
Well, if you looked at the first half, you'd say no chance. And the second half, there was... It kept being third down plays. The third and two was big. The third and six was big. There was just a few big time throws that I did like. Now he ruined me with the post game press conference. That was absolutely brutal.
We probably should play that. So this has been compared to a wrestling promo. This has been compared to a train wreck. Fernando Mendoza being interviewed by Fox after the win.
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
All right. I mean, the flipping part, I don't know what else he's supposed to say there. Like, it's like us swearing on here. It's like, but I'm never going to say flipping.
Yeah, no.
Never going to say flipping.
You just can't. Like, honestly, I think the good Lord would understand you cursing. In like the spirit of not sounding like a knob, right? Also,
I don't think he's worried about the good Lord there. I think he's worried.
I think he does. I think he deked himself out because he started it with being like, "Oh, glory to God." I think God's like, I don't need that glory.
Sound like our buddy Willie P there for a second, you know?
That's an inside joke.
And then, but his voice cracks and everything that just seems like it was awful. Football Ned Flanders. There's no other way around it.
But like,
we've
but
known
like
this.
The Megazord of Ned Flanderisms.
But we've known this though. Like he's got two master's degrees.
Listen to this. Kirk Cousins would stuff this into a locker.
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
By the way,
it's JJ McCarthy vibes is what it is.
Plenty of people thought you would be there because you were one of the five best teams or five highest ranked teams coming into the season.
And consistently ranked in the top five the entire year. Yeah.
Like, this is the promo you cut last year.
It still is Indiana football though. You know, it's still too new for everyone to be like, of course they were going to be good.
I will tell you, that was the best response to Indiana winning was Ohio State fans were like, who cares? It's Indiana. Let them have it.
Yeah. Almost like there was like a sense of joy and pride for Indiana. Like, good for you. You got it done.
It was like, had you won, there would have been flexes and Big Ten champions. You beat Michigan. We're going to go win the national championship. You would have totally been like, we're the best team in college football. But the second it was obvious that Ryan Day had lost that game, Ohio State fans were like, don't care. Enjoy it, nerds. Like it was like going from, it was not even giving Indiana the satisfaction of beating you by then melting down and being like, I can't believe we lost Indiana.
Do you buy into the idea of a good loss?
No. Yes, but not in this one.
Not in this one, okay.
This is not a good loss. No, this is a bad loss. This is an embarrassing loss. A good loss to me is, hey, you just had the wrong mistake at the wrong time, right? Everybody was in the right position, confluence of events, but you played a hell of a game. Ohio State played a D-minus game. And I thought Indiana played, I don't think they played an A-plus game either. I thought they played probably a B-minus game. But at least they fell back on what makes Indiana good at football. Ohio State, did Ryan Day care about that game? Because it didn't feel like the stakes were as high as like when he beat, hell, I don't know, Washington in the regular season.
I mean, I did hear some people suggesting that he was holding a lot of things back that he's going to use in the college football playoff. I heard that excuse floating around there.
Yeah, but I think that's an excuse. I'm not saying, because here's the thing. You can't let it all on the line against Michigan and then be like, all right, we're going to reel it back in. We're going to put the tiger back in the cage.
I do wonder, and maybe, and I don't prescribe to that thought process, but I do wonder if, You know, last year he did. The case with him with the Michigan game was that he was doing just that for so many years. Last year's Michigan game, 13-10, but he knew he had to win Michigan. He knew it mattered too much. He had to beat Michigan, so he let the tiger out of the cage, did everything he needed to there, and then I don't know. Maybe in this game, maybe he did just kind of just put the stop sign up. Maybe not use as much and all the different plays that he wanted
to. Like, here's the thing: it wasn't like what trick plays could we have used, like Quinshon Judkins on like a 2-point conversion. It wasn't just that; it was time management that screwed him. He treated the final 3 minutes of the first half like he was up by 20 points instead of like there was a point to make a 14-point swing.
I mean, I know Jeremiah Smith had a massive game, obviously. Like, he played really well. But, like, in that moment, watching that game, I just kept thinking, why isn't 50% of your throws basically going to the man one-on-one coverage that Jeremiah Smith had all game?
Yeah, that, I would also say just in general, I want to get to another excuse because this just popped up. People putting this at the feet of Brian Hartline is one of the most embarrassing, because that the Ohio State fans who were mad about this did that. Guys, they didn't lose because Brian Hartline became the head coach for South Florida.
Right.
Stop embarrassing yourself. Yeah. And by the way, it was the same people who were trying to act like Chris Henry Jr. delaying his signing by three days was a big deal, and that we should be mad at Brian Hartline for that. It was not a good week for Ohio State, and I got to be honest with you. You should wonder if Ohio State can win the national championship now. That game, you got out-competed. You got out-talented. Yeah. You just got embarrassed on a lot of fronts. And your coach, you know what, down his leg.
I think there was a couple encouraging things. Obviously, the idea that Indiana's high-powered offense, number two offense in the entire country, they're averaging 45 points a game. Again, that's the second highest number in the entire college football ranks. They looked stopped at a lot of times. Again, they converted some key third downs, though. But, like, your offense against, and Indiana's got a lot of good defensive players, but the Buckeyes' offense just wasn't there.
Yeah, you're going to face, the high likelihood is you're going to face a better defense in the playoffs than you did, or you might just face it again with Indiana. I don't know. I think it's apparent Ohio State has gotten better at pass pro this year on the offensive line, which I think has helped Julian Sain. I think they've regressed significantly as a run protector or a run blocking scheme, and they just can't run the ball.
Bo Jackson was good in the Michigan game. He wasn't particularly good in this game.
And so I think the offense got exposed. And again, I think Ryan Day got exposed. I think there was a better head coach on the field. But to get back to Fernando Mendoza, if you're already on the fence for Fernando Mendoza, I don't know pre or post game. I'm sorry, I don't know in game or post game made you feel better that's going to be the guy. Because what are we talking about?
I mean, I did in the second half. I legitimately did in the second half. He made a couple really nice throws in there, but it's not as if I'm the person knocking down the door for Mendoza to begin with anyway. He clinched the Heisman, by the way. Did you see the Vegas odds shift on this whole thing?
Yeah.
I mean, he went from plus 170 before the game got underway to like minus 2,500 on Sunday morning. Like, they basically, Vegas gave him the Heisman after that performance.
216-474-0092, Fernando Mendoza in Indiana 1.
So you're out. You're out of Mendoza is what you're saying.
I'm more out.
Or based off of that game alone, if you only had to judge that one. Because I kept wondering, like, midnight on Saturday, what was the reactions going to be? And I agree overall. I don't think many people left being like, oh, we must have that guy. But you did see on Sunday during the broadcast, you saw a couple people had signs up for Mendoza at Huntington Bank Stadium.
Yeah, I just think it's to the point of, like, if you're going to take a quarterback, I need someone to make it a yes. Like, right now, it's somewhere in between a yes and a no, and that's the idea were that for him and Dante Moore and Archman and anybody that could hypothetically come out this season or this draft season is incredibly concerning that I don't have like a, yeah, that's the guy.
I mean, it feels like last year in many ways.
I kind of feel like it's worse.
I mean, it could get there. I think there's something to Dante Moore that I just don't think he's going to. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come out or not.
I want to see more.
I do, too. Pun intended. I do, too. We got to retire that one, right? Like, when we have these Dante Moore discussions, we got to retire that, right?
Which one?
The more puns attached to it all.
So you would like to see Dante
I'd like to
less.
See less. Yeah, I'd like to see less. Oh, no, this is going to be brutal. Why can't people just have normal names? You know, I can't.
Dante Moore is a normal name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less is more.
Goes back to the old countries. 216-474-0092.
I'm sure it does.
I did the Big Ten title game. Listen, you're the one.
What name doesn't go back to the old countries?
I'll find one.
Okay.
Did the Big Ten title game make you want Fernando Mendoza in Cleveland more? Fernando. James in Akron, welcome to the show.
Okay, I got to answer a question. First of all, the top four quarterbacks in the college right now, you have to say the top five. Now, you have to look at Sanders. He was always number one or two the whole year. Now, let's look at the ones that are there. Who's better of the top five quarterbacks right now in the league, in college, that's come out that's going to be better than Sanders? That's one question. The next question is this. I have yet to see in 30, 40 years a quarterback to come out of college and is able to lead their team to anything. So if the Browns decide, okay, we're going to go for a quarterback, what they're saying, we got a 3 or 4 year window.
Daniels just did this. What do you mean?
Yeah, look at him. I mean, you named
the guy. Year one, he went to the NFC title game.
Oh, you're talking about the boy from Philly. Okay, that's
the guy from Washington.
I'll give him to him. I want you to tell me what quarterback in college right now is better than the four that we have. I mean, the two that we have. The top four or five. They're not there. Now, the next thing, let me go to this. Everybody's talking about firing the coach. Okay, I don't know if you fired a coach or not. I can't fault him because the coach picked the guy that he thought was going to be successful, and he wasn't. But he gave him too much rope. Now, if we had Sanders earlier playing like he's playing now, we probably would have won four or five games that we've lost. So, I mean, you gotta give the guy credit for what he's doing. Nothing's wrong with our coach, but you guys want to get rid of him, so you do what you do.
James. Right,
but you got to be real. Be real about what's going on and evaluate the people for what they do.
James, that's all we've done.
That's all we've done. That's the whole job that we've done, James.
James, I
agree with our evaluation, but that's all we've done.
Yeah, by the way, you just said, you don't know if you're going to fire Stefanski, but that he just got it wrong. Yeah, that means he should be fired. When you get it wrong more than you get it right, then that's how we evaluate you. I don't remember any of the questions because they were like.
Well, one of them was, do we think Shador is better than the other college quarterbacks that are there right now?
But better how? Those guys are going to go in the first round. A few of them are going to go into the first round. Shador was a fifth rounder. I thought he was a second round talent. You thought he was worth the number two pick in the draft.
Right.
So I don't know how we're grading a guy that we've seen on the NFL field versus that.
Also, are we doing this like if they all played tomorrow with the Browns, how would they all fare out? Is that the question too? Is that
part
of it?
There were questions. There was a riddle
would
in
be the
there.
Unquestioned answer.
The facsimile in there, maybe hyperbole, some light erotica. I don't know. There was a lot there.
White erotica?
Light erotica.
Oh, what? The white isn't the part that I got hung up on.
Oh,
this is off the rails.
I thought you said something else. I was like, I would never say that. Now, you're not going to outfreak this freak, okay?
No, I didn't get that specific with the type of erotica.
You're looking at me like I'm being ridiculous.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.